Well, welcome to the program, and happy Independence Day, happy July 4th. This year, July 4th falls on July 4th, oddly enough. That doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes July 4th will fall on July 7th or July 8th, and that's very, very confusing, where people say, well, happy July 4th, it's July 8th. I know, but this year, July 4th falls on July 8th. Well, not true. In 2018, July 4th actually falls on July 4th, which makes it a little bit more, well, palatable. So, I think we all love this country, except for Donald Trump, who just uses it as a pulpit. But the rest of us do. And it's a very conflicting July 4th, because I am ecstatic that I live here in this country, but I'm also quite saddened by what's happening to it. But that's just me. And that's what Independence Day is about. I can say what I want, think what I want, and you can think what you want and say what you want. And obviously Trump certainly exercises that right on a daily tweeting basis. Other than that, it's the day of barbecuing and sitting around and walking around the house in your underpants. That's the kind of day this is. Nobody's working on July 4th. It's a sit back, have a beer, and some destructive nitrate foods. It's that kind of day. And then in the evening, when the sun goes down, we watch fireworks. We watch explosions, colorful explosions in the sky. Which is pretty, but at the same time, Ron, referring to myself, Ron doesn't like explosions in the sky for a multitude of reasons. One is because what they actually represent are the bombs bursting in air. Let me tell you something. If I lived in a country where bombs were basically bursting in air all the time and causing bombs cause death, I don't know if I'd stand there and go, ooh, pretty bomb. Oh, look at that bomb explode in the sky. Pretty. Oh. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that would be my reaction. I think if I saw a bomb exploding in the sky, it'd be one of horror rather than... Oh. Yeah, I know. Anyway, so I'm not into fireworks per se. Also, when you have the fireworks being displayed, mosquitoes actually band together and say, look at all this bloody, wonderful flesh standing in an open meadow. Could they be more obvious? Come on, guys. Let's bite them. Let's start sucking their blood and giving them all kinds of little skin problems. And let's see if we can spread some disease amongst these folks. Come on. So I don't stand in open fields when the sun goes down, so I'm a target. Well, Ron, you could always wear DEET. DEET, what? What are you talking about? You could wear a mosquito spray there, you know? You could wear the anti-mosquito shield. Yeah, no. I don't feel like dousing myself in chemicals so I can watch bombs bursting in air, so thank you very much. Also, everybody that goes to fireworks displays, they all smell. If they don't smell of the DEET mosquito spray, they smell of armpit stuff. Because on July 4th, it's usually one of the hottest days of the year. And you have thousands of people standing in an open field. Usually, either they're high on pot or some type of alcohol, all standing together, looking at their watches, saying, when's this damn thing going to start? Fireworks displays never start on time. They always make these hot, sweaty hundreds of people just stand there in a field together and just wait. And on a hot, hot 100-degree evening, just standing around a field and waiting is not a great idea. Start the damn things on time. You've got some crowd problems going on. So it's just, all in all, Ron don't like the firework display. Fireworks have become very modernized and technical, where they actually follow the beats of the songs that they're playing over loudspeakers at 10 o'clock at night when other people are trying to sleep. That's why I don't drink too much on July 4th, because I'm not going to be able to go to bed until all these schmucks stop exploding things. Just as you're falling asleep, you hear this gigantic explosion like your house blew up. It's just a very weird... How do we celebrate our independence? We watch explosions in the sky. Okay, to me, celebrating independence would be not having explosions in the sky. So that would be what it would be about for me. But to most people, it is simply the cracking of a beer. And that's, I guess, good enough. And then there's the food, the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the grilled chicken, if you're going to be a little bit healthy about it. I go to a barbecue at a friend's house every July 4th, when it falls on July 4th. And the husband there, he grills pineapple and he grills asparagus spears. And I guess that's somewhat patriotic. I'm really not sure. Although eating a lot of asparagus causes gas, and everybody just sitting around drinking beer and eating asparagus, you got yourself a little gas fest. We don't need the bombs bursting in air. We've got the asses bursting on ground. And it's an interesting thing. And it's usually hot. Ron don't like to sweat. Ron don't like to sweat. Ron's not into sweating, nor to sitting around in groups of people who are sweating in front of you. I don't mind armpit sweat because I can't smell it all the time. But this kind of sweat when you're talking to somebody and it beads up on their forehead and starts dripping down on their nose, and then they wipe their eyes every once in a while because the sweat is starting to sting in their eyes, that's time to say, I don't really want to look at you anymore. If we're going to have a conversation, text me. I don't want to look at your sweaty face with perspiration dripping off your nose like you're some kind of intricate waterfall something. I'm not interested. You know, sometimes they say that women, who are basically more sexy than men, although to women, I think that's even true. When I see a woman working out at a gym and she's all sweaty, most men go, ooh, that is so hot. I say, that is so, like, not hot. That is so sweaty, disgusting, slimy. I like a cool, dry girl, personally. How about you? How about you? Do you like a cool, dry girl? How about you? All right, that's enough. Kids could be listening. I like a cool, dry kid, as a matter of fact. I like a cool, dry anything. I don't care for sweat. It's not my thing. No. You never see it on surveys. What's your favorite thing? Oh, watching people sweat. I love that. It's I wouldn't call it a fetish, but it's very, very hot. No, it's not actually. It's not that hot. It's kind of disgusting. I don't touch people who are sweating. You don't touch these things, you know. You don't touch hot, sweaty things. Well, Ron, what about when you're having sex? Got my eyes closed. Doesn't really matter. I haven't started the show yet. By the way, happy July 4th. You probably are saying, Ron, I didn't think you were going to do a show on July 4th. Is this pre-taped? Did you pre-tape this like 17 years ago? Is it Christmas right now and you're pre-taping a July 4th show? No, it's not. It's like happening here on July 4th. We do these shows in the morning and, you know, what are you going to do? You eat a hot dog at 7 o'clock in the morning? No, you go do a show. You go do a show. That's what you do. That's what I do. I used to do other things, but not anymore. Now I just do this. I mean, it takes care of me financially rather well, but at the same time, I just do this. People say, Ron, what do you do for a living? Oh, I do radio. I do radio station and internet podcast stuff. And how many hours a day do you work, Ron? Wow, I'd say three. Three? Yeah, well, actually, four. I work 4 hours. I mean, three, actually, and then four, you know. And then what do you do the rest of the day? I don't know. You know, I'm still trying to figure that out. I don't know. Wow, Ron, that's a hell of a job. Well, yeah, I know. It's not so bad. I'm not complaining about it much. I mean, it's a pretty heavy 4 hours that I put in. I thought you said three. Well, it's really four. That's very heavy. It's mentally very, very taxing. Very, very taxing. That's right. By the time the 4 hours is, after I've talked for 4 hours, I'm sweating. I'm perspiring and I'm sweating and it's, I don't like to sweat. Let's start the show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Why are you listening to this, by the way?
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, what the hell? You're not doing anything else either.
Whatever.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good night.
Good night.
It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Well, happy July 4th. I've said that so many times, and I'm going to continue to say it until the show's over. One of the great joys of July 4th is the hot dog. I've talked about this on the show before. I love the hot dog, but only on special occasions. I don't just wake up in the morning and say I want to have a hot dog. It has to be on a holiday. There are three hot dog holidays. Let's name them together. Ready? Okay, here we go. Memorial Day. Yeah, hot dog. July 4th. Yeah, hot dog. Labor Day. Last hot dog. Yep, three holiday hot dogs. Now, just because it's a holiday doesn't mean it's hot dog time. Nobody says, oh my God, it's Christmas. Where can I get a hot dog? No, doesn't work like that. It's the magic three. It's the Trinity. Memorial Day, July 4th. Labor Day, hot dog days. You must have a hot dog on these days. If not, you must leave the country. Isn't it interesting that we put up walls, Donald? We put up walls to keep people out, but we've never had to build a wall to keep people in, because people love this country. And they love it the way that it is. And I'll just leave it at that. Okay. Hot dogs, man. Oh. And it's not just the hot dog itself, which is a disgusting product, but it's what you put on the hot dog. Mustard, ketchup, sauerkraut, chili. Oh, that a chili dog? Nice stuff. Relish, onions. Anything can go on a hot dog because a hot dog is anything. And it doesn't have to be a beef hot dog. You can actually save some of the fat content by going to the chicken hot dog or the turkey hot dog. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I sometimes have turkey hot dogs, and I can't tell the difference because it's still intestine stuff crap. It doesn't matter. It's what you put on the hot dog. It's not the hot dog itself. One of my favorite hot dogs is when I go to New York City. They have little hot dog stands all over the city, and they're yellow and blue umbrellas, and they're called Sabrette's hot dogs. I believe you can even find them in some supermarkets. They take the hot dogs. They don't grill them. They are boiled in some type of standing city water, and it goes on a bun, and it's incredible. I love this stuff. But I don't think I love the hot dog as much as I love the idea of standing there on a city street eating a hot dog. That's the excitement of it. It's not the hot dog itself. It's where you're eating it. It's just, hot dog it's an experience. It's not just the food. It's an experience. Man, and this is a hot dog day. And don't you dare go through this July 4th holiday without eating a hot dog somewhere. Somewhere you must eat the hot dog.
There's nothing more American than a hot dog. And this summer, we will eat over 23 million hot dogs in Major League ballparks alone. That's enough to stretch coast to coast from Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles to Camden Yards in Baltimore. But did you know hot dogs, also called Frankfurters, were first created using pork in Frankfurt, Germany in 1852? And hot dog champion Joey Jaws Chestnut set his world record in 2009 eating 68 hot dogs in just 10 minutes. Blech! But on average, an adult in the United States consumes 70 hot dogs a year. So maybe it's about time you learn what the heck is actually in all those hot dogs. The most popular hot dogs are either made from beef, pork, or both, fat, and lots of it, salt. Check out how many words start with sodium on that label, and lots of chemicals. Hot dogs are prepared commercially in huge vats, where rapidly moving blades grind and mix these ingredients with spices. This mixture is then forced through tubes into casings for cooking. Now, most hot dogs you purchase at the store are pre-cooked and they're ready to eat, but people tend to boil, grill, or microwave them at home. And we all know that dogs aren't considered a diet food, obviously, but how unhealthy are they? Well, despite the first ingredient being meat, hot dogs are not a great source of protein. In fact, one typical hot dog only has the equivalent of this measly 3/4 ounce piece of lean steak. Each hot dog is about 250 calories. 70 to 80% of those calories are pure fat. And that's before you even consider any of the toppings. Now, like other processed meats, hot dogs are loaded with sodium, which we know raises our blood pressure. Ugh. A 2010 study conducted by researchers at Harvard found that eating one serving a day of processed meat, that's the equivalent of one single hot dog, has been linked to a 42% increased risk in heart disease and a 19% increased risk for diabetes. So does this mean that you have to go cold turkey on hot dogs? If you're a Francophile, you don't need to take this to the total extreme and never eat another hot dog ever again. But my advice is to save them for those special occasions at the ballpark when it's part of the experience. You don't want to make hot dogs regular features in your grocery cart or staples in your kids' diet. And when you do treat yourself to hot dogs, try looking for brands that are lower in fat and sodium. Now that you know what the heck you're eating, proceed with caution.
Well, that certainly makes it feel very tasty. That didn't help, but this does.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kind of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Step right up.
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on racks. Tough kids, sissy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids eat day or night.
Sad kids, funny kids, kids who fly a kite. Big kids, little kids, kids who like to fight. Love hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
The dogs kids love to fight.
When man bites dog, that's news, they say. But when kids bite dogs, they yell.
Hooray for hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Did they just not offer you a second choice? Or did you not have a lot of time to choose? Help me out here. I don't understand. What were you thinking?
I don't understand either. Well, it is the summertime, and that's when we shove the kids into the car and we go places. We also shove the pets into the car. It's funny, in a way, that we secure our kids with seat belts and car seats, but our dogs and our pets, not so much. So what's up with that? Our guest today is going to kind of cover that area.
Hi, Ron.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Alyssa, you got to pronounce your last name. I'm not even going to try.
Massafero.
That's what I thought, but I didn't want to. Okay. Alyssa, is my God, you're an MS, a DVM, a PhD. You got more letters after your name than you do in it.
I think so. It just means a lot of school.
That's right. That's what it means. She's a staff criticalist, Cornell University veterinary specialist, and we're talking about traveling with your pet, as this is vacation time, and your pets are a part of your family, and many people choose to include them in their road trip.
Yes, and so we're here today to talk about traveling with your pets. And about half of millennials actually recently polled say that they won't go on vacation without their pets.
Wow.
And in fact, for traveling with their pets is traveling with some of their members of the family. About 84% of those Americans actually think that people don't take pet safety in vehicles seriously enough. And that's important because although we love our pets, almost half of us don't even know about or own any type of safety gear to travel with our pets. And 40% of us actually will allow our pets to travel in the front seat with us unrestrained. And as a veterinarian, specifically working in emergency and critical care, I'm here to tell you that that's just not safe.
Sure. As we all know, we go to extraordinary lengths with equipment and apparatus to make sure that our children are well secured. There are even laws accordingly. But somehow with your pet, which is sometimes more valuable than your children, I'm sorry I said that, there are no restraints, and it just doesn't make sense.
You're right, it doesn't make sense, Ron, and, you know, I think it's awesome that Volvo has taken the initiative to promote pet safety, and so I've always thought of Volvo as a family vehicle that's mm-hmm. very, very safe, mm-hmm. safest cars on the road,
That's what they say.
Now, they've developed these pet accessories to keep pets and their people safe when traveling with them. And so there are these steel grills to go in the back so dogs can't jump out of the back of your vehicle when you open the tailgate.
Yes.
There are safety barriers to prevent them from jumping into the front of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a safety harness that you can strap to a seat belt so the dogs don't roam, and if they are in the car and the car is in an accident, they won't go flying and injure you and injure themselves.
Yeah.
So it's just a great, great mechanism to keep all family members, including our furry family members, safe 24 hours a day, 365 days a year when traveling.
Right. And I would assume that the apparatus is not visible if you're not using it.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I assume that the apparatus is not visible or in the way if your pet isn't in the car and you're not using it. In other words, it's not always, like, up all the time.
So the apparatus can be installed by the members of the team at Volvo.
Oh, okay.
And I rode in a vehicle last evening, so you can pretty much design it to meet your needs so that you can have cargo space with your in the back of your vehicle, as well as the safety cage, should you choose.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, for those cars that aren't SUVs or have that station wagon kind of feel, then you're just dealing with the seats.
Correct. And so the Volvo XC90, which is pictured behind me, actually, but you're on radio, so you can't see it.
Oh, I can make believe. I can make believe it's there.
You can make believe. Yeah. And so that SUV comes with the mechanisms to integrate into that safety.
Good.
If not, you have the harness that will attach to the seatbelt. And so you can find out more by going to VolvoCarsPets.com, and people can look at the different safety mechanisms that are available for purchase for their vehicle. The super cool thing is that for every pet safety accessory sold, the Volvo is going to donate money to Pet Finders, which is an organization to help with pets and pet adoption.
Very nice. I'm sure you'll agree with me that, I see on the road a lot of dogs sticking their heads out of the side windows. That's been going on for decades and decades since there were cars and dogs. It's illegal in many counties and states. Also a very horrible idea.
You're right. And if you think about it, not only when we're driving around do we see pets riding on their owner's lap, sticking their heads out of vehicles.
Yeah.
While it's illegal to keep your pet unrestrained in the back of, say, a truck,
mm-hmm.
It should be illegal to not promote and keep your pet harnessed in.
Excellent.
If you look at, in many commercials even, pets are visualized and shown sitting in the front seat of the car or throwing their head out the window or just roaming with their tongue hanging out. And it's pretty cute, but it's definitely unsafe.
Yeah. No, I don't think I'd want my head sticking out of a car at 70 miles an hour personally either. There are tons of tips and ideas that the Volvo has put out. Where do we find them?
You can go to www.volvocarspets.com.
VolvoCarsPets.com. Well, good talking to you, and thanks for all that information.
Good talking to you, and thank you for having me with you today.
Pleasure. You take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
And thank you for having me with you. That's an odd phrase. Here's something that's kind of odd. Do you know there's also a Flag Day? Do you know when Flag Day is? It's usually in the middle of June. I don't quite understand what the difference is between Flag Day and Independence Day. Can't we marry the two holidays together? I don't think most people even know when Flag Day is. This middle of June holiday is just, I don't quite understand it. What's the point of it? Nothing happens. You put a flag out. But you put a flag out on July 4th, Independence Day. Can't we marry these two? Can't we have some type of a marriage between these two holidays instead of having separate ones where you gotta write another thing on a calendar? You know, nobody does anything on Flag Day. No one says, hey, it's Flag Day, let's have Brussels sprouts. It doesn't make any sense. Display your flag on July 4th. That's what that holiday is really about. Well, I'm out of time for today. I just thought I'd do a little show for you. You're welcome. you're welcome. am I hearing a resounding thanks, Ron? Not necessarily. Be sure to have a hot dog today. Keep it low in fat, but enjoy it. And we all just take a second, at least just a second, to be thankful that we actually live in this country and not some war-torn country somewhere in the world, and there are plenty of them, or some country where we're not free to think for ourselves or express ourselves or live our lives. We're a fairly wealthy nation, although there's some very poor people here, but we tend to take care of them in general. So let's be thankful. And let's make sure that in the future, when we choose leaders of this country, we choose people that respect it, that have morals, sensitivity, and great visions for this country. Thank you so much for your time. I wish you peace.